What is the absolute most important thing of all? Just a few weeks ago, we studied this topic when Jesus told Martha that only one thing is needful. One thing alone, and what is that one thing? To put it another way, what if we knew that we were never going to see someone again, except for this one last chance, and so we had one last chance to say one thing to this person in hopes of God saving this soul through our one last thing said? Jesus says, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." So in Jesus Christ, we confess our sins are truly forgiven, no matter how great they may be. Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive. Forgive them." And what is more important than for us to have our sins forgiven? What is more important than Christ making all things right between us and God? That Christ would go to the cross and die for us, to make us completely acceptable to the Father. What can compare to that? What compares to knowing and believing from the bottom of our hearts that our sins are completely, forever forgiven, and that we will be saved by this forgiveness, by this grace, by this forgiving grace through faith? The problem that we face today, though, is, well, come on. Come on, am I really that sinful? It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. I'm not to blame. It must be somebody else or something else. If I did do wrong, well, then I'm still not to blame, because it was the way I was raised. Or it was my surroundings. It was the culture in which I grew up. The society. The television. It's the television's fault. Or the violent video games that I was allowed to play. Those things are to blame. Not me. Or what about those crooked politicians that can't seem to get it right? They can't give me a good government. They're to blame. Those things are to blame. Not me. And isn't it interesting that the majority of people in prison seem to be innocent in their own eyes, of course? Well, how could that be? Because no one wants to accept responsibility. Notice the makeup of that word, the construction of that word. Responsibility implies a certain response of accountability. Well, how could it be me? People just don't understand me, or the situation in which I was placed, or what I was going through at the time. I'm really not to blame. But the truth of God's word is that we all are to blame. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God be thanked that He provided us a Savior who would take upon Himself our guilt and our shame, and that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But what many do not understand is that our sin cannot go unpunished. Many think that God will just overlook their sins and say, oh, well. Well, come on, God is love. God is not so harsh that He will actually judge the world for its sin, inflict any kind of punishment. But they simply do not understand that God, the Scriptures say, is holy, holy, holy. Absolutely good and holy, which means that sin cannot go unpunished, or else God would be like an unjust judge who lets crime go unpunished. Criminals go free. The Scriptures clearly say that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But the good news of the gospel is that God, in His great mercy, did not want to see us suffer the true punishment for our sin, which is everlasting punishment. He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And what perhaps many do not realize is that He gave means the Father gave Him into the hands of the cruelest sinners so that He would then die, but then also rise from it all and say, behold, I make all things new, giving us that new life, that new heart in which He completely forgives us of all our sins. This is why Jesus could speak forgiveness to the paralyzed man. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Jesus forgave sins because He is the one who would remove them, remove the true punishment for them. God is now completely satisfied. He is completely and fully at peace, and we are at peace with Him. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the peace of having a good night's sleep or the peace of having everything go the way we think it should go. It's the peace of sins forever forgiven. Since there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. His resurrection proves that God accepted His sacrifice. And He says, simply believe. Only believe, and thou shalt be saved. And He gives us His Spirit. He sent His Spirit so that through these promises, He would create, strengthen, keep us in that true faith. So Jesus poses a question to the scribes and Pharisees saying, which one is easier? Which one's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say to a paralyzed man, get up and walk? Which one's easier? Which one's harder? Here's a hint. One can be seen. The other cannot be seen. And Jesus is asking us to believe in what we cannot see. So again, what's easier? To say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Which one can be proven? Which one can be observed? Which one demands results to be seen and measured? To the scribes and Pharisees, it was all about the proof. Jesus, prove to us that you are God's Son. We know you've already, people say you've already done miracles, but we want to see another one so you can prove you are who you say you are. Jesus knew that to them, to the scribes and Pharisees, it would be easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no way to prove or disprove it here on earth. To them, to say, get up and walk to a paralyzed man, that must be harder because that demands the proof of God's power. And so Jesus gave them their proof. He healed the man, but not to impress them, not to show off his power, but that they may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Jesus is asking us to believe in what we cannot see. We surely cannot see our sins being forgiven. We cannot observe it in a laboratory. We cannot measure it scientifically, whether or not forgiveness of sins is a reality. And Jesus knows us that we are so focused on what we can see, on what we can do, on what results we can observe. So he says, forget everything. One thing is needful. Believe in me. Believe in what I've done for you. Remember what I did for you. On the cross, thy sins were forever forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How do we know that? How do we know? God says so. His promise says so. And his Spirit works in us through that word and gives us that assurance. Our sins are truly forgiven. This time, those tornadoes struck a lot closer to home. That destruction was less than 30 miles from here. May God comfort and strengthen all those who are still hurt and suffering. But we must confess that God allows these very things to happen. He allows it because he wants us to trust in his forgiveness. Not in the things of this world that all will fade away. He wants us to trust in the words of eternal life, the words of forgiveness. As we watch everything fade away, even our own bodies, the eternal Christ with his words of eternal life says, thy sins are forgiven. Simply believe. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He can guarantee us this because he already made full payment for all sins and completely removed that true punishment for our sins. He died. He died once. But he will never die again. And he promises, because I live, you shall live also. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Nothing matters more. In Jesus Christ, our Savior, may he continue to keep us and strengthen us in that one true faith by his Spirit through the Word. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.